There's a somewhat recent trend within law. Courts are becoming critical copy editors, grousing grammarians, and sticklers for syntax. It's a fine trend. Then again, I'm one of many across the nation who teach legal writing to first-year law students. Any help we can get from the bench is much appreciated. So those like me heard early about the Philadelphia judge who reprimanded a lawyer for typographical errors. Long before it hit the papers last week, the story hit our listserv. See, we could tell our students, with similarly nitpicky eyes will a court one day review any document you put before it. In law, many times, you are what you write. Who knows exactly what started the trend? But from a quick look at the cases, it was around 15 or 20 years ago when courts first started writing that they'd become sick, S-I-C-K, of writing sick, S-I-C. As in, given the background giving raise to this appeal, sick, or as a minimal due process requirements, sick, or the record reflects both a clear and concise factual basic for counsel's various motions, sick. Those are all quotes from a 1990 case in which a court sanctioned an attorney for bad writing. In the past, courts didn't necessarily equate good writing with good lawyering. Nearly 100 years ago, a Texas court, after citing important legal authority, wrote that bad or awkward writing will not vitiate an otherwise good complaint or indictment. And an Arkansas court in 1941 called it a well-known fact that lawyers as a rule are noted for their bad writing. Sure, the court may have meant that in a you-can't-read-it sort of way, but you can almost hear the gentle enabling chuckles coming from the judge's chambers. Whatever insider bad writing law club may have existed 60-plus years ago, it has now officially disbanded. Lawyers are taught from the very first year of law school that good writing is key to good lawyering. And judges have turned to public reprimand for those who do not take the lessons to heart. Proof comes from Pennsylvania and elsewhere. Take a case from 1988 in which a federal trial court sitting in Illinois dismissed a complaint for failing to utilize the most basic requirements of English grammar. Another case from 1997 in Illinois where the court dismissed claims it found unintelligible. One from Louisiana in 1999 in which the court dismissed the complaint and refused to quote from the poorly written memorandum lacking any semblance of grammatical structure so as not to embarrass the attorney. But perhaps the best example comes from Texas 4 years ago. The court wrote that the attorneys in the case had filed some of the most amateurish pleadings ever to cross the hallowed causeway into Galveston. Their briefs seemed to have been written with crayon, the judge noted, on placemats stained with gravy. Lousy writing wasn't what the case was about, but it certainly became what the case was about. I should add that this sort of thing doesn't happen often in courtrooms or in law books. The best news of all, perhaps, is that the news last week of the attorney who forfeited part of his legal fees due to typographical errors was news. Lawyers' writing generally isn't lousy, and so they don't usually receive reprimands for lousy writing. The fact that presses stop when they do proves that. And as embarrassing as newspaper articles may be, for attorneys, the greatest embarrassment is published in a different press. As a court in a reprimand case wrote succinctly, this opinion shall serve as a public reprimand. And law books stay on the shelves forever. I'm Amy Guida.